Father, we just praise you tonight. We worship before you. We lift up and give you glory and honor because you are worthy to be praised. You're worthy to be exalted. You are our Lord. You are our Father. You are our God. You are our Savior. You are our Deliverer. And Father, it is you that have brought us together even this time to worship and to praise you. We thank you for the words that you speak to us, because we know those words are spirit and they are life, and that they are moving us forward into a higher spiritual realm as we ascend into this time, even to your throne. Father, thank you again for bringing us together, for the wonderful time of love and fellowship that we have with each other, and the bond that we have with each other. We just glorify you, Father. Amen. Several weeks ago, I knew that we were coming down here for a long time, but I don't know, the Lord has his way of doing things, and I no longer get uptight if God doesn't give anything to speak on, because I can say I don't have anything. But several weeks ago, he gave me a sentence, and it was experiencing the presence of the Father. And then he gave me a verse of scripture. And I believe that we're in a very pivotal time in God's economy right now. I think that we can look around and see in the world and see the things that are happening that are even beyond what we would think or have seen in our lifetime. I think the things that are happening now are possibly things in America that we've never seen before. And also in the body of Christ, that it is a time that God is moving his children closer to himself. And in Psalms 31 and verse 20, he said, "Thou shalt hide them in the secret place of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." And if we look at the word secret, just go through some of these words. Secret is a covering or a shelter or a hiding place. And I thought that in his presence was very interesting, because it means the face, or in the presence of, or in the face of. And the word pavilion actually means a booth. And it is the same word that is used in the Feast of Tabernacles. In Leviticus 23 and 34, he said, "Speak unto the children of Israel, the 15th day of the 7th month shall the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days be unto the Lord. You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All that are Israelite born shall dwell in booths." It's the same word there that is used here. And secretly is to hide or to treasure, or to treasure or store up, or to hide from discovery. And so here he said that he will hide us in the secret place of his presence, and he will keep us secretly in a pavilion. And as I thought upon these things, you know, God has been so gracious to us that he has drawn us together, or brought us together from time to time. And with us in North Carolina, he's been gracious that we can gather on Sundays and have fellowship together and share with each of you what the Lord is doing there by way of CD. And I think that's wonderful, and I think that we really need that time of interaction. But the thing that I think that God is speaking today is that we have come to a time when our relationship with God is becoming individual. We are a corporate body of Christ and members in particular, but each one of us is being drawn, hallelujah, into a personal and intimate relationship with our Father. It's wonderful to get together with one another and to interact with one another. And I don't believe that God's doing away with that. But I believe that we have come to a time that God has, His Word has been in us so that His Word has become such life within us that we know that there's nothing to turn back to. But this is an individual experience that God is birthing a corporate son in the earth or a corporate body in the earth in this hour. But individually, we are to be ministers as manifested sons to this creation. And that we are ascending in the realm of the spirit in a higher dimension from glory to glory. And Father is saying, I'm drawing you aside and I'm hiding you in a booth or a pavilion, a secret pavilion. Because the time has come that God is about to do a finishing work.
Amen.
Hallelujah. In the midst of a people, and that finishing work is going to be done between each of us and the Father.
Yes.
And that doesn't do away with our gathering. It doesn't do away with what we interact with each other. But what it does is draw us that in these last days and in these times that He wants to intimately react with each one of us. This is what He says and what He's calling us this hour. To come aside from the hustle and the bustle of this life. And that doesn't mean that you're going to ignore or put aside the things that you have to do. We all have our lives in this world. We're all here. Jesus said you're in the world, but you're not of the world. It doesn't mean that you're going around praising Him all the time or acting religious all the time. It means that in the innermost part of your being, God is about to bring a new relationship in the midst of His body. God is about to bring us into a higher realm. Than we've ever known before. I'm sorry. You see, for over 2,000 years, the church has done everything outwardly, corporately together.
Yes.
And there's nothing wrong with that. And that will continue, and we will continue our gatherings. But I do believe in this hour, in this time, that God is saying, I desire a personal, intimate relationship with
Amen.
You.
Yes.
Aside from the things and the problems and the cares of this life. I was reading today in the Song of Solomon. And you know the Song of Solomon is a love story. And he said, My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of the birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vine with the tender grapes give thee good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, thou art, O my dove, thou art in the cleft of the rock, in the secret place of the stars. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy name, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take this. Take us. I'm sorry. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies until the day breaks and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe, or a young hart upon the mountains. You see, God is saying, my beloved, come aside. It's time for you to, you and I, to come aside in the presence of the Lord, of the Father. And, you know, we all have our beliefs. We all have, and I'm sure that if we were to all sit here and go around and say, well, this is what I believe, we would find a lot of different things going on. But God is saying, this is my time. This is my finishing day to bring you into that relationship of birthing a son in the earth in this hour. And that's what Tabernacles was. That's what it was. It was not, they were to go and to build them a very rugged booth and set in it for 7 days. And that's what God is saying here, that it is a secret pavilion. And he's not telling us to go build us a booth of branches or of some material. That's not it. This thing is a spiritual experience with the Lord.
Yes.
That he is calling his people aside to be in his presence, experiencing the presence of the Father. Because as you experience him, you become like him. In Psalms 27, it says, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. You see, in the time of trouble, and that doesn't mean that you're out here in some booth. That's not it. He hides you right where you are in your relationship with him. Because your relationship with him is not external. It's not something out here in this physical realm that we're beholding. But it is inwardly, in the inward part of his tabernacle that is within us. The spirit realm of who we are, that he is calling us aside in this hour unto himself, to allow him to have relationship with him. In Revelation he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And he said, if you come in, I'll come in and I will sup with you. I'll have relationship with you. And you know, this thing is in the spirit. We are ascended in the spirit. God is bringing us from this place. We are in a transitional period, that we are transitioning from this realm of flesh and corruptiveness and mortality into a realm of incorruptiveness and immortality. Amen. We are transitioning from this natural flesh realm into a spiritual realm that is beyond anything that we have experienced before. And yes, it's going to be a corporate birthing of His Son in the earth. But it's also going to be an individual. I cannot teach us how to go through this process. But God can. Yes. And that's what Father is saying in this hour, is to come aside into the secret place of His booth and to have relationship with Him, spirit with spirit, that you and He, and that we and He individually might have experience in His presence. Because He says, when we see Him, we shall be like Him. And if all we see is this natural realm, you'll never be like Him. But it's in the innermost part of our being, where He dwells, where our spirit dwells, that spirit communes with spirit, that worship comes, and worship is more than saying hallelujah or Father, I love you. Well, I remember a guy that we knew, a man that we knew years ago, he said worship was worth-ship. He is worthy of all praise and all honor and all adoration. And that comes from our spirit. That comes from who, the essence of who we are. It doesn't matter that the doctrines, it's not the doctrine, it is the relationship that He is bringing us into with Him, that we might be like Him. And I'm reminded over and over again that to be like Him is not flesh and blood. To be like Him is spirit. Amen. The essence of who we are. The Christ of who we are. Because we are came out from Him. And that our spirit came from God. He said, I'm going to make man in my image and in my likeness. And in Genesis 1, He created the spirit that we are out of Himself. That we were first and foremost a spirit being. And for over 2,000 years now, since Jesus came and said it is finished, the church community has always worshiped in an outward form. You know, first of all, it was the singing of the songs or the hymns. And then in the charismatic movement, it became the singing in the spirit. But it's always been an outward form. But we must be reminded that it's not the natural man that understands the things of the spirit. It is the spiritual man. And God has worked with this thing between our ears until now. He's saying, I'm getting ready to finish the work. Amen. I'm getting ready to finish the work. You know, He loves us more than we can ever understand with this natural mind. God loves His creation unconditionally. And He is bringing us into a place of spirit, that we too will be able to love Him unconditionally. Amen. I mean, we've walked out of traditions upon traditions upon traditions. He has brought us out and is still bringing us out. And now He says, I'm bringing you in into that spiritual relationship with Him. You know, this, and I reiterate it again, it's not anything against gathering together. We still love that. That is a part of what we are and what we do. But this is an individual time that He is saying. That He is calling us into the secret pavilion from the strife, the confusion of tongues, of things that we've heard, of things that we hear. He says, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And only the words that He speaks to us means anything. And that's the only words that is going to bring change within us. And this, the scripture, and I don't know how He's going to do this, but the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 13. And I know that we're all familiar with the scriptures there that are the what we call the love chapter of the Bible. But you know, there's more about those scriptures, because most of us came through the Pentecostal churches, and we know the value that was placed upon the outward acts of the Spirit. I mean, they were, if you spoke in tongue, you were spiritual. Let's just put it like it was. You were put up on a pedestal. If you gave interpretation, you were even put up higher. I mean, those things were important. But the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, I believe, puts it in perspective. God's calling us out of and into. Out of this world and into Himself. And even though this scripture, this chapter says that these things will cease, well, pure knowledge has not come yet, so they haven't ceased, nor will they cease until that day. So don't think that I'm against the gifts of the Spirit. I'm not. But what I am saying is that the time has come. The Word says that there come a day when you will not teach your brother, but every man will know the Lord for himself. So this is a day that God is calling us apart from depending on the one who preaches or speaks or whatever, into a relationship of hearing Him. Jesus, and I believe it's a profound statement that Jesus made, because He said, I don't do anything except I see the Father do it. And I don't say anything except I hear the Father say it. And the words of deliverance that is coming through the sons of God that are going to be manifested in the earth will be the words of God into creation. Yes. It will not be what you and I are speaking of ourselves, but it will be what the Father is, what we hear the Father speak, just like Jesus did. When He walked up to the funeral procession and the young man had died, He had already heard the word of the Father speak to that young man and speak life into that young man. Where, whatever he did it because he heard the Father say it. And I have the confidence tonight to know that if God spoke to me to speak to a dead person to rise, that that dead person could not do nothing but rise, because it would be the word of God and not my word. And that's what Jesus was saying. What I speak to you, the words that I speak to you in ministry, I have heard the Father speak to me. And when I heal the sick, or bring deliverance to creation. It's what I have seen the Father do. Because God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And I know when we meet somebody, we were talking tonight about Tommy and Shirley and us meeting them and what the Lord has done and how that we met the rest of us here, the bonding that we felt like we had known each other. And I have no doubt that we had known each other. You know, that doesn't bother me to know that, that we had known each other before. But you know the bonding there that comes, the trust that comes when we have that kind of relationship. Well, that's what God is saying. Listen, you, each one of us, have got to have that relationship with Him and the confidence in Him. And the only way that comes is by coming away as He draws us away into the secret place of His provision, pavilion, and spending the time with Him individually, that when He speaks to us, He said, "My sheep know My voice and obey Me." Jesus obeyed. He acted upon what He heard. He didn't do the work. He knew the Father did the work. But that was a confidence that He had in the Father. If someone walked up to you today and gave you a check for $1,000 and said the money's in the bank, you would go to the bank with the confidence that that money was there. And you'd cash that check without any question. And that's the way Father is saying to us right now, I am drawing you away into a place in Myself. And it's not a physical place. I mean, you don't have to go to your bathroom, your bedroom, to your knees or whatever. You know, that's not it. It is in your spirit within you that I am drawing you away into a place that you will come to know Me in such a way, hallelujah, that when I speak within you My word, that you will go forth in that word and perform that I have spoken without any question or any doubt or any fear, that what I say will be performed and will be done as I have spoken it. Because in this hour that I am bringing within you the confidence and the understanding and the relationship with Myself, that you will not question that I say or that I do, but you will act on that word instantly and without hesitation and without fear or doubt. And you will see the result from that which I have said, for no man can turn My hand or turn it aside. For I will accomplish every word that I speak. And it will be accomplished in the way that I have proposed, in the way that I have said. And that is what He's drawing us aside to bring us into that place of relationship with Him. That there is no fear, that there is no doubt, that there is no hesitation, that there is no turning to the right or to the left hand, that there is no turning about and seeking and finding out from somebody else, well, do you believe what God has said? But it will be instantaneous and without fear and without doubt, for you shall act upon that is spoken within you, and know that it is the word of the Lord that He is speaking into creation in this hour. You see, that's what He's doing. And He's doing it in a way that it's not what we have known in the past. I mean, what I'm seeing is not what I have known. Because it is not our getting together and collaborating one with another and saying, well, is this what God is doing? But it is a place of knowing, without any doubt or any fear, that God has spoken within us. That it is Jehovah that has spoken within our spirit. And I'm not going to say it's not going to be an audible voice, but it is a knowing beyond doubt.
Yes.
And without any fear and any hesitation, that He is bringing His body to a new hour in this day. Now. For we have been through in the last 2 or 3 years many teachings. But He has brought us tonight to this. And He's speaking it to us now.
Yes.
Because He loves us beyond anything that we'll ever know. And getting back to the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. The Amplified says that if I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love, that reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, such as is inspired by God's love for and in us, I am only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. You know, I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, why these verses? You know, I didn't understand. Why did you give me that with what else you had given me? I think he's contrasting. Because before we have depended on how spiritual we can look. I know I did. I know I came from that type of tradition of men. You know, that if you spoke in tongues or if you preached, you're spiritual. God is saying, get beyond that. That day of those passing away, and I want to reiterate, it has not come. Those gifts of the Spirit are still in effect today. And if we look going down, as we go on down in these verses, we'll find that that day will come. Because we'll know as we are known. Yes. But the things that we do, such as what I'm doing tonight in speaking, does not denote that I'm spiritual. And does not denote spirituality. If we want to be spiritual, allow God to produce, or the Spirit to produce in us, the fruits of the Spirit. Love and joy and peace and long-suffering and so forth. Those are spiritual. Those show spirituality. To be able to love creation unconditionally. To look at that individual in the depravity of moral decay and still look beyond what this natural eye sees and see a child of the living God within whom is the seed of the Christ that is waiting to be watered by that word that comes out of your mouth. And the reason I'm saying that is God's going to bring forth the corporate son. But I've got news for you. When that son is birthed in the earth in that day, there is not going to be one mouthpiece. But every one of us is going to be speaking the word of deliverance into creation.
Yes.
That's what God's preparing us for. Is that's what that relationship is preparing us for. Our job, Jesus' job, was to die on the cross. Our job is to take that which he did and to finish it in creation, to set them free from the depravity and the bondage of the curse that they're under in this hour. And that's what he's going to do through us, is set them free to look at this world and look beyond the depravity, beyond where they are, and say, God loves you unconditionally right where you are and where you dwell.
Hallelujah.
And hear his word within you and speak that word into that depravity and birth a son or a daughter out of that situation and set them free into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. You see, so though I do all this, and he said, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mystery and knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. Think of that. I mean, these are the traits that the church would say are spiritual. Think about it. If I could remove mountains and have no, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, but if I don't have love, God's unconditional love, then he said, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burnt and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. See, what I'm hearing God say in this is that all of this outward signs of religiosity without love is absolutely nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. It don't mean anything. And I believe that why God is saying this to us tonight is not for us to stop the things that we're doing. That's not it. But He's getting us to see that all of this external that we have trusted in for all of these years is coming to an end.
Yes.
Because He says, I'm bringing you into myself. I'm finishing the work that I have started, that I have begun. And oh, if He could just take the veil off of our eyes tonight to see how far He has brought us,
amen,
our jaw would drop and we would stand in awe to see the work of the Lord that He has done in each one of us individually. Because what we see in this room tonight is, except for a couple of us, and maybe a little bit more, are old. Bodies that are becoming decrepit with age. But you know, the thing of it is that through the years that we look back over our lives, we can see the hand of God as He has lovingly nurtured us.
Amen. Yes.
And brought us step by step out of the traditions of men.
Hallelujah.
And brought us to where we are. I heard, I believe it was Rosa talking about tonight, when they first started meeting together, taking the Bible and reading and asking God, what do you mean? And God would just give the meaning over and over again. He has taught us step by step. I mean, this is a work that He's taken over quite a few years to bring us where we are now. But beloved, I feel like I have news from the Lord tonight.
Amen.
God's beginning a quick and a fast work in the midst of us and in the midst of a people all over the earth that have been chosen and set apart to be a part of that first fruits company, to see and to taste of that which is to come upon this earth. And I believe that's why He's saying that He is calling us aside. And the booth is a symbol of that. To finish this work individually. Because in order for you to stand up in the midst of creation and function as a son of God on this earth to set creation free, you have to trust Him with everything that is within you. And you have to act upon the word that you hear from Him without any fear or any hesitation. And you have to know that what He speaks, He will do.
Yes.
And that He will not turn aside, and He will not leave you out there on a limb and saw you off. But He will bring to pass the word that He spoke to you. And He says, love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, and hopeth all things. Love never fails. But then it says, but whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. And whether they be tongues, they shall cease. And whether they be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Well, first of all, we know that knowledge has not vanished away, has not stopped. So therefore we know tongues and prophecies has not stopped. But he said there's coming a day. Because the next verse says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. But listen to what verse 10 says. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. See, the day is coming shortly when all that we have known, in all of the acts of religion that we have known, is going to be done away with. Because God's going to bring a new day. And a new day is about to be birthed in us.
Yes.
For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. And I want to read that verse out of the Amplified. And so faith, hope, love abide. Faith, the conviction and belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things. Hope, joyful and confident expectations of eternal salvation. Love, true affection for God and man, growing out of God's love for and in us. These three, but the greatest of these is love. See, we would never be able to set creation free if we do not understand the fullness of His love for creation. God's people that are unveiled in this earth, in this day, as manifested sons, will look at creation the same as God looks at creation. And God loves His creation. God loves every one of His creation. And He is bringing us into that place of a spiritual awakening that we have never known before. And that is, and I'm not saying tonight that it's not going to be glorious in our gatherings. It will be. But I'm going to tell you something. You have not experienced anything in God yet in what God's getting ready to do in the midst of His body.
Amen. I believe that.
As we are individually drawn aside into the presence of the Lord in the secret place of His pavilion, as we come to know Him as He is and understand Him as He is, and that cannot be done in this natural mind of ours, that is the Spirit communion with God. God is moving in this hour. He's drawing us aside. He's calling us aside. And the thing of it is that you're not to go home and build a hut. You're not to go home and put up a secret place somewhere. That's not it. The secret place is that which is within.
Yes.
The dwelling place of the Most High. We are His tabernacle. Everything that we need to set creation free is within us. And God is going to bring back to our remembrance the things that we remembered that were when we were with Him before we were birthed out of our mother's womb. Because we were there when He put the heavens and the stars in place. We were with Him before the foundation of the world. And whatever has happened in our lives and all of the times that we've been here or there or with Him has been bringing us to this place. Remember, there's coming a conclusion to the ages. There's coming a time when in Revelation, the book of Revelation doesn't finish it all. Paul finishes it in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. When he talks about that there's a time when God will be all and in all.
Yes.
And death will be the last enemy that is conquered. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, but there's coming a day when this corruptible will put on incorruptible, when this mortal will put on immortality. And there's coming a day when all of God's creation from all the ages will be gathered together, and God will be all and in all.
Amen.
And what happens after that, I don't know. But I know one thing, it's going to be glorious. He might just start it all over again, and that's all right with me if that's what he wants. There's a reason that he has lowered us to this dimension of time. I know the Old Testament tells us that he lowered man into the olamis, which is the Hebrew word for ages, to be exercised by them. And he also said that when he lowered man, that there was a part in man that nothing under the sun would satisfy but God. And that explains why you see these people all over the world running everywhere trying to be satisfied. You know, there's a move of God over here. Well, let's go over there. It's over here this week. Let's go over yonder. Jesus said they will, in the last day, they'll say, here is Christ and there is Christ, but go not out to see him. God says, I'm going to bring you aside from all of the doctrines and the teachings and everything that's going on and all of the confusions into my pavilion or into my secret place. And there I'm going to commune with you, and I'm going to finish the work that I have begun. I mean, this work of bringing a first fruits into manifestation has got to come to an end and has got to manifest a son in the earth. There came a day when the prophecies concerning the Messiah for hundreds of years were actually thousands, because it goes back to the beginning when God promised a Messiah in Genesis 3. There was a day came when the fullness of time came that Mary brought forth a son, and Jesus was birthed into this earth, God incarnate in flesh. And I tell you tonight with a surety that there is coming a day, and I believe it soon, that God is going to birth the corporate man in the earth, that the fullness of time is about to come. And he's calling his children into a place of his pavilion to finish the work that he is doing. And beloved, it's not going to be anything like we've seen before. We've just not seen it yet, that God is going to do as he draws us aside into this time of a spiritual awakening with himself. Because as I said before, every individual in this room will be ministering into creation. We will be not be looking to another to minister, but we will be the flaming fire, hallelujah,
amen,
of the Word of God that is speaking that word forth into creation. And I will tell you tonight that in that day there will be no hesitation in speaking forth what God says.
Amen.
And I tell you also that there will be no works to work up that God says. But as when Jesus spoke to the lame, they stood and walked. To the dead, they arose. To Lazarus, he came out of the grave. Whatever he said, it was accomplished then and there. It was a finished work.
Yes.
And I tell you, the words that we speak into creation will be words of deliverance that will break the bondage of the curse that has been a creation since the beginning of time, when Adam and Eve were in the garden that was in their mind. It will break that curse and restore creation back to its pristine values. What a glorious day that's going to be. And what a glorious work that our Father is getting ready to do in each one of us as He draws us aside and begins to minister to us in the secret place of His provision. It shall be marvelous indeed the work that He performs. And this tongue in the natural cannot even begin to tell of the things that we're seeing, because there's no expression in this natural that we can express it with. It's a work of the Spirit that is beyond the natural man. For the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit. And that's why He's drawing us aside, that Spirit can communicate with Spirit, that He can bring us back into remembrance of where we came from and who we are. And I tell you, if we really knew the essence of who we were tonight and believed it, we would be manifested right here, because you can't keep that from happening. If we realize and understood it all tonight, this mortal would put on immortality. You couldn't stop it. Because when the expression of God is in us, it comes out in its fullness. And that's why He's saying individually, I'm drawing you into My secret place, My pavilion, within you, to finish and to minister to you individually, to birth us and to unveil us as sons in the earth. I don't know how long that's going to take, but God has spoken it. And now the work begins individually in each of us. And oh Lord, how we long to see that day of change in the midst of us. How we long to see the fulfillment of all that He has spoken to us throughout all of these years. Think of Isaiah as he looked down through the corridors of history and he saw a son that would be birthed into the earth, that the government would be upon his shoulders. But he never lived to see that day in the natural. Think of all of Israel that longed and looked forward to a day. But when that day came, they were disappointed, because that son was not birthed in the regal halls of Jerusalem. Let us not be as Israel and look for any special way for God to do His work. Amen. Let us just be reminded, God, You do it as You want to do it. Whatever Your word is in the midst of us, I will embrace it. I will believe it. I will eat of it. I will dine at Your table or whatever You put before me. If everything that I have known up until this time has to go, it doesn't matter. Because all we desire is the truth of God. Because the truth will set you free.
Amen.
And He will speak in the midst of us His words that will set us free from this place and bondage of this body that we're in, into the glorious liberties of the sons of God.
Hallelujah.
God's birthing a son in the earth. And He's doing it now. And He's calling us aside. You're His child. You're His child. And not only that, but part of God dwells within you.
Yes.
His Spirit that He placed within you is God. And He is going to open up our understanding to remembrance, the things that we knew beforehand.
Amen.
Because He chose us in Himself before the foundation of the world was ever founded. The word there for foundation is katabatale, the throwing down or the casting down of the foundation. Before He began all of His works, we were there with Him.
Yes.
And it is His purpose that we're here tonight. He's called us together. You know, we think that over a year ago when we sat here, the toilet to get place for another year. Oh, that's, we did that. No, this was His design. This was His purpose.
Yes.
To gather us together again and to speak into our lives a fresh word and a new word.
that is leading us ever closer and ever higher in a spiritual realm that is beyond anything that we have ever known. He has wrapped His love around all of creation, and the day is at hand when He is going to birth His sons in the earth to set this creation that He has loved for so long free from the bondage and the curse of the law. God's purposes of the ages is about to finish, and we're going to be a part of that. We're going to be a part of that. For the words that we speak out tonight are spoke out into creation. Wow. Not that's just real where we are, but the words we speak are being spoken out into creation and shall vibrate throughout this creation of God. What a wonderful and mighty God that we walk with. He is beyond anything that our natural mind can even think of or can even understand. And He is worthy of all of our praises, all of our honor, and all of our glory. For He is our God, He's our Father, He's our Lord, He's our Deliverer, He's our Lover, He's the very breath that we breathe. In Him we live and move and have our being. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is risen from the dead, and He holds the keys of death and hell. And He is all and in all. And He is beginning to manifest Himself in His creation.